It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Welcome to the teaching ministry of Life Changing Ministries International with Dr. E.K.D. Quick. With your Bible in hand and your heart open to learn, let's join the teaching in progress.
From the book of Exodus, chapter 20, verse number 4, the scriptures read, Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. This is the second commandment of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Briefly stated, the second commandment. This particular commandment is the law against idolatry. This particular commandment is the prohibition against idolatry. The protection that we have in this commandment keeps us from replacing God in our heart with something else, or someone else, or another endeavor. For example, individuals may create graven images in this world and worship them and trust in them. Some individuals may not create graven images in the tangible, but they may create graven images in their heart. For example, they're trusting in the god of money. For example, idolatry may be trusting in the god of education more than trusting in God. For example, individuals may trust in the god of good efforts more than trusting in God. Idolatry may be trusting in good works more than trusting in God. It may be the god of ambition. It may be the god of trying to be a superstar in this world. It may be the god of fame and fortune. It may be the god of alcohol or drugs that they worship, that they lean on, that they need to make it day to day, instead of trusting in God day to day. Give us this day our daily bread. This is the law against idolatry. It's moving towards a culmination, even as we speak. During the Great Tribulation, Revelation chapter 13, the Antichrist will rise up, and the world will make an image unto the beast and bow down to that particular image. The second commandment, the law against idolatry. Just as the first commandment was the commandment that taught us that God is the object of our worship, the second commandment teaches us the way to worship. Jesus Christ said in John 4:24, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. This particular commandment teaches us intimacy with God, teaches us to be personal with God. It teaches us to worship him in spirit and in truth from our heart, not with the graven image, not with the tangible, but in our heart, in our spirit, reaching out, spending sweet communion with God, basking in his presence, worshiping him in spirit and in truth. A very personal commandment to the young, to the not so young, to black, to white, women, to men, rich and poor, anyone in this world can partake of a relationship with God, a way to worship him in spirit and in truth, not based on any graven image or any idol. That's freedom. That's liberty. The Bible says that God is a jealous God. Chapter 20, verse 5 of Exodus. God is a jealous God. This is a godly jealousy, a holy jealousy, a righteous jealousy, a jealousy to where God wants us to be mutually exclusive with him. For example, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2, Paul told the Corinthians that I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. So as the Corinthians had many idols, many loves in their heart, they were saved, they were converted, and now they are as a chaste virgin to Christ. One love, they love the Lord with all their heart, all their mind, all their soul, and all their strength. This is a godly jealousy, a holy jealousy, righteous jealousy. Just as if, for example, a husband and a wife, they want that love to be mutually exclusive between each other. They don't share the same love they have for each other with someone else. They don't share the same time they have with each other with somebody else. They don't share the same trust they have for each other, the same intimacy they have with each other with somebody else. This is a special love, a exclusive love, a mutually exclusive love between a husband and a wife. The same thing between us and God. God is a jealous God, and He wants our love to be exclusive, mutually exclusive between Him and us. There are four cautions that we should note about this particular commandment. Four cautions that we're going to expound on. Caution number one, the caution against falling into idolatry. The caution against falling into idolatry. Romans chapter 1 verse 21 says that because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. If you drop down to verse 23, they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into the image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, four-footed beasts, and creeping things. So we can see here that a caution against falling into idolatry is given an example that we become ungrateful. We lose our thanksgiving. We become unthankful. And because of that, individuals no longer trust God. They no longer look to God in their heart, but they begin to trust in the tangible. They begin to trust in that which they can see, that which they can feel, that which they can create with their own hands, that which they can control. It's because they knew God, glorified Him not as God, became unthankful. For example, some individuals are in pain for the loss of a loved one, and unfortunately they begin to blame God for that loss. They begin to ask God why. They begin to wonder, if God is God, how can this happen? They begin to get unthankful, and their heart is changed to where they no longer trust God in their heart, but now they trust in the tangible, what they can see, what they can feel, what they can understand, what they can control. They become unthankful, and they fall into a form of idolatry. Caution number two, we should have a caution against God's judgment. A caution against God's judgment. For example, in the book of Galatians chapter 5 and the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 9 on down, it states that those that are living in idolatry will not inherit the kingdom of God. We cannot make it into heaven if we're trusting anything else besides God through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What happens with this particular caution? What happens in idolatry? Individuals change their object of worship. They change to where their heart is no longer trusting in God, but they're trusting in another graven image, or a graven image written on the tables of their heart. The Bible says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. They begin to trust in the God of money. They begin to trust in the God of ambition, the God of education. They begin to trust in the God of good works. They begin to trust in the God of their own efforts. Another caution we should look at here, number three, the caution against false hope. the caution against false hope. In the book of Judges, chapter 10 in particular, but throughout the book of Judges, the children of Israel have fallen back and forth into sin. And as a result, to bring them out of that particular sin and to teach them not to sin, they begin to be in servitude to other nations. They begin to serve other gods. Unfortunately, they begin to backslide. They begin to cry out to God in chapter 10, for an example, for deliverance. Verse 13 and 14 says, in God's response, "Yet ye have forsaken me and served other gods. Wherefore I will deliver you no more. Go and cry unto the gods which ye have chosen. Let them deliver you in the time of your tribulation." What God is saying here is that he is leaving individuals to their own choice. He is leaving individuals to their own choice. For example, if an individual wants to trust in the God of money, and when they fall into hard times and tribulation, God is going to say to them, "Let the God of money deliver you." If an individual wants to trust in their ambition or their efforts or their education, and they fall into times of tribulation, or if they fall into times of deep concern and crisis, God will say to them, "Let the God of education and the God of good efforts and good works deliver you." God will not violate our own choice. God will not violate the choices of our heart. The Bible says, "Choose ye this day whom ye shall serve." Elijah told the false prophets of Baal, "How long ye ought between two opinions?" Joshua told his household, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." There is a choice that individuals have, a choice to serve God, a choice to love God, a choice to trust God, or a choice not to serve God, a choice not to trust God, or a choice not to love God. God will allow individuals to make their own choice. And when individuals find out that the God of money, or the God of education, or the God of good works will not deliver them, then they will realize this spiritually, open their eyes and open their heart, and then begin to cry out to God and say, "O God, thou art God Almighty, the only God. Forgive me for trusting another." This is the caution against false hope. Money may buy a bed, but it will not buy a good night's sleep. Money may buy a house, but money will not buy a loving home. Choose ye this day whom we shall serve. Sometimes we can fill our lives with idols if we're not careful, and find that these idols leave us empty, still searching, still hungry and thirsty for the living God. Caution number four. This is a caution against demon influence. Yes, a caution against demon influence. Demons are real. Demons are spoken of throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament. Sometimes they're spoken of as devils, lowercase d in the plural. Sometimes they're spoken of as unclean spirits. Sometimes they're spoken of in the Bible as familiar spirits throughout the Old Testament and throughout the New Testament. Jesus Christ even said that hell is prepared for the devil and his angels. Matthew 25:41. These are the fallen angels. One third of the fallen angels that fell with Lucifer are now the demons, the minions of the devil himself, that roam around this earth, vexing and oppressing the people of this planet, causing disaster and causing calamity. Not God, but the devil and his angels. God is unfortunately getting a lot of bad press, so to speak. The things that the devil is doing with disasters, disease, calamity, heartache, and heartbreak are blamed on God when they should be attributed and blamed on the devil. This caution against demon influence is directly connected with idolatry. Psalm 115 teaches us that idols are nothing in themselves. Idols are pieces of wood, stone, clay, or whatever material we make them out of. They have feet, but they walk not, the scriptures teach. They have noses, but they smell not. They have eyes, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. However, when it comes to idols and the material that they're made of, there is something behind the idol that gives it its power, and that is a demon influence. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 20 bears witness. It says that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that you should have fellowship with devils. This is speaking of graven images. This is speaking of idolatry. For we know this from verse 14 up above. Paul says, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. And then he gives an example on what we just read. There's a power behind the graven image. There was a power behind the idol, a demonic power. For example, a Ouija board is made out of cardboard. It can be made out of wood or plastic, dead material. But there's something behind that particular material that gives it its demonic power, and that is a demon spirit. When an individual is moving towards idolatry, when they have idols in their life, then they are trafficking, they are becoming familiar with demons. Demons will allow them to have a measure of truth. That's why they're called a familiar spirit. They're familiar with who we are. They're familiar with what things we like and don't like. And they'll give us a measure of truth in order to hook us in to trust in that particular idol even the more. For example, the stars, horoscopes, Ouija boards, anything of the occult. It'll give a person a measure of truth to hook them in so they can give their heart totally over to that particular idol or that idol system, and then that opens the door for that particular demon to come into that person's life, torment them, vex them, oppress them, harass them, and cause them great calamity. So, idolatry, we must avoid it. It's a caution against demon influence. We see on today that there's many things in terms of the second commandment. This particular second commandment is a law against idolatry. Anything that replaces God in our heart. This particular commandment teaches the way to worship. To worship God in spirit and in truth. Being personal and being intimate with no graven image coming between us and God. For God is a jealous God. He wants our love to be mutually exclusive between us and Him, with nothing coming in between us and Him. And we learned about the four cautions against idolatry. Caution number one, the caution against falling into idolatry from Romans chapter 1. Not being thankful, no longer glorifying God, moves us from trusting God in our heart to now trusting the tangible, trusting an image of God that we create with our own hands or our own mind instead of trusting God in our heart. Caution number two, we learned a caution against God's judgment. Galatians chapter 5, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we learn that no idolater will enter into the kingdom of God. Their object of worship, their object of love and trust is no longer God, but the graven image, even if it's written on their heart. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Caution number three, the caution against false hope. This is when an individual trusts in other idols and God gives them over to allow them to trust in that particular idol to deliver them. For example, if you trust in the God of money, God will allow you to say, okay, God of money, deliver me. If you trust in ambition or the God of education, or if you trust in the God of hard work, then God will allow you to see if hard work will deliver you or education will deliver you. And then when these things leave us empty, when these things leave us hungry and thirsty, we'll turn to the living God and cry out and say, O God, thou art God, save me, deliver me, forgive me. We also learned at caution number four, the caution against demonic influence. These particular graven images, these particular idols are made of dead material. However, there's a demonic influence behind the material, behind the graven image, behind the idol, that gives it its pseudo power, that gives it a false sense of power to hook us in, to trust in that particular graven image, so we can give our heart over to it, which allows the door to be opened for that particular demonic influence to come into our life and torment us, harass us, vex us, and bring in calamity and disaster into our life. And on today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you have strayed away from Him and His loving kindness, I invite you to pray with me. This prayer will save your life. I invite you to bow your head, close your eyes, repeat after me. Oh God, I am a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins. I believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Save me today. Forgive me, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Life Changing Ministries International. LCMI is a Christian non-denominational teaching ministry based solely on the Holy Bible, dedicated to pleasing God, glorifying Jesus Christ, and ensuring that the Bible is the foundation in everything this ministry proclaims and endorses. For more information, log on to our website at lifechangingministries.com. Please join us again next time for more Bible teaching. And remember, we have the victory through Jesus Christ.